you got to know when to hold 'em, know when to fold 'em, know when to walk away, and know when to run. You never count your money when you're sitting at the table. There'll be time enough for counting when the dealing's done.
Hey, welcome back to the Jeff Porter Show on FM Talk 106.5, 35 minutes after the hour on this Monday morning. We're month three of the Jeff Porter Show, the FM Talk 106.5 incarnation underway here as of today. So very excited about that. Joining us now, speaking of the new program, was a guest from the very beginning here and remains a guest. Have not scared him off. He represents you folks over on the Eastern Shore, Daphne, and parts of Mobile County as well. State Representative Matt Simpson joins us. Representative, how are you this morning?
Doing good, Jeff. Thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
Yeah. Well, thanks for making time for us. Once again, I guess the question on a lot of people's mind right now, cleaning up, recovering from Hurricane Sally, going about as expected. It seems to be moving along pretty well.
You know, I think everybody's doing the best they can. This is a month long process. You know, I say month long. It's more than a month. It's multiple months. This isn't something that's going to be cleaned up in the next 2 or 3 days. As much as we would love to have it cleaned up before Delta gets here, if assuming Delta continues the path it's looking at, you know, I'm pleased with the way they've tried to do things. It's been a difficult process, but you have to get everything lined up the right way. You have to get the roads where the trucks can actually pass through them. There's a lot of places where the trucks couldn't get through them because power lines are down and what you have there. So I think everybody's doing the best they can. You know, I'm pleased with the effort that's been there. You walk around, you see trucks more on the roads now. You know, at this point, if we were still having the same level of trucks that we had last week, I think that would be a concern. But you see more trucks are out there now than they were.
Well, we had a Congressman Byrne on earlier, and we were just kind of talking about, it seems like the hurricane recovery, my perception at least, is that things are moving along a little swifter, that there's the lessons have been learned from past hurricanes. Have been applied to this situation. Still not, you know, ideal by any means, but that, you know, we were initially told power is going to be gone for weeks in some places. That timeline seems to have shrunk. Some other things, getting people aid, was still, I guess, working on that, but the processes are in motion. That this seems to be being handled right now better than maybe hurricanes had in the past.
Yeah, I agree with that. You know, you talk with Congressman Byrne, and he's had conversations with us multiple times and talked about the relationship with FEMA, that FEMA is willing to do whatever, whenever, and however that he's asked for. If he calls and asks them for something, they're willing to respond, and that's a much better relationship than he's had in the past, in years past, dealing with them. So, you know, it's great to be, I think that leads to we're in a different administration that answers to the people and has this, you know, I believe this administration has a soft spot for Mobile. And so, you know, it's one of those things as they go through, and Congressman Byrne, boy, we're going to miss him. But you know, I think everybody is responding and doing well. You know, you can always find this thing or two here or a bump in the road every once in a while, but at least you're finding bumps in the roads with people working, and that's important.
And you know, a lot of people dealing with the federal government is something maybe they don't directly do in their everyday life until something like this happens, and then you're dealing with it one on one. That was. You know, George W. Bush's Achilles heel after Katrina was FEMA and FEMA mismanagement and these bloated government bureaucracies that have strayed from their mission, which is applying aid in disaster areas, that were doing other things maybe outside the realm of what FEMA traditionally does. And whenever you see the storm, a lot of people just kind of like, okay, it's coming, we're ready for it. And once you get to that, oh, great, we got to deal with FEMA. Turned out not to be as bad this time around, it seems.
Absolutely. I think there were a number of headaches in the prior Bush administration to kind of go through, and that kind of sums up the way his presidency was. He would just kind of put people in charge and let them try to run and do the decisions, and I think it was Brown was the FEMA director at the time, and just didn't do well, didn't respond well to this. I think this is a new administration. It's learned those lessons. You know, I couldn't tell you. Of course, I was younger then, but, you know, before Katrina, you didn't really hear FEMA much. That wasn't really something that became the common vernacular. But after Katrina, it's been something that it's a serious it's a serious industry that people are looking into, and I think people have learned their lessons and realized how important FEMA is. I think the citizens have learned how important it is to go ahead and get those FEMA claims in, go ahead, start the process, figure out what you can. I think the media has done something. I think I was listening to Sean's show last week, and I think Sean had people from FEMA on to talk about how they can help, and that's important to let people know, call this number, do this, follow this process. I think once we've been through the process, once we've seen how it worked, we're kind of seeing the benefits of having gone through the process before.
I mean, not really seeing national reporters come and descend on the area saying, look at this person suffering here while the president does this. You saw a lot of that during Katrina and the aftermath. But, you know, you don't really, they don't really have a reason for that. I mean, I hate to inject politics into everything, but the way this was handled, it is probably maybe as good as it could go.
I think so, and I think we need to commend our local officials, our statewide officials, and our federal officials from getting together. You know, you have the EMA in Baldwin County working with the state EMA. You have, I think Zach Hood is the EMA director in Baldwin County. You have the county commission that's worked hard in Baldwin County to stay. I know Commissioner Jeb Ball, I know Billy Joe Underwood, they both stayed at the EO, and I'm not sure about Commissioner Gruber or Jeb Davis. I believe they were all there for extended periods of time to make sure that the EMA had the resources, had the instructions, had everything that they need to get the job done. Now, when that local EMA works well with the state EMA, which from all indications are, there were good, and you know, a good communication, good contact with that, and then the state EMA and you're working with the federal EMA, especially through our local federal officials, and that's just, we've learned, we've kind of picked up how to do this, and you know, again, like I said, there's bumps in the road everywhere you go, and you can always try to find something to look at the negative, but for generally the positives of this are, it's been a decent experience on this.
What remains to be done? What are some of the big ticket items left out there? Clearing debris,
I think we're going to get cleared debris. You know, I really hope this storm veers away from us, because I'm concerned about the projectiles that may be out on the street anywhere you drive around, and you see some of the trees still down. You see some of the limbs and debris that's right on the road. And if we get those winds again to come back up, it's going to be a nightmare for us. You know, I'm watching this storm closely. I'll be honest with you. I don't know that I've been watched the hourly updates for 5 days out for a storm before, but this is one that if it hits us, it could hit us hard. I think we'll be okay. I think we'll be able to recover. We'll get through it. But man, this one, if any of them could just go the other way, that would be the best thing for us right now.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like this one's moving at a more, or it's anticipated once it makes landfall, wherever it does, it'll move at a more of a rapid tick. Won't do what Sally did, which was just kind of hang out for a while, or grab a bushwhacker when it made landfall there at the state line, and it may mosey its own way up into the rest of the state. That this one will move on and maybe not be as bad.
You know, we talk about the butterfly effect and how those butterfly wings can cause a storm. If we can get some butterflies right on the coast right there to kind of push it the other way. I know with COVID right now, people can't go out and blow into the wind. But whatever we can do to kind of get this storm away from our area would be
quite beneficial. Can you blow into the wind with COVID going on right now?
We can try it. We can do whatever we can to get this through.
Joined by State Representative Matt Simpson here on the program. Sort of things going on, you know, it is COVID still remains the top story, maybe beyond this local area, and maybe it's making a comeback, and it is the top story with the president now in Walter Reed, hopefully going to be discharged soon, but looks like KIV staying the course, sticking with what's working. Other states are choosing to do otherwise. How do you feel about that trajectory?
You know, the governor has chosen the path of taking this all on her own. She has not included the legislature in the decision-making process as to what goes on, as to how, what she's going to decide to do, when she's going to decide to do it. You know, we'll get a press. People ask me all the time, what's the governor do on the mask? What's the governor going to do with the mask? It's like, well, we'll generally get an email about the same time the press conference starts to tell us this is what the governor's order is going to be. You know, I think she's going to be okay with as far as the mask ordinance right now, because I think the response has been well, that it's trending down. There's a lot of people that are upset by it. I get calls about it all the time. People are angry with us. And at this point, I can tell them there is absolutely nothing that I can do. You know, I can reach out to the governor's office and express my concern. I can tell them this. But under the statute that was given, under the authority that was given to her by that 1955 bill that was passed in the mid-50s about the executive authority during the time of an emergency, she can do this without calling the legislature in. Now, I fully expect that when the legislature is called in, be that in February, if we don't have a special session before, being when February we come in, I imagine there will be a number of bills filed to make sure that the legislature has some type of involvement in these decisions and some type of inclusion. You can't have just an unlimited period of time for a state of emergency where the governor can do whatever she wants to do without checks and balances. That's too much.
I mean, this governor, yeah, maybe she wouldn't abuse it, but who's to say a future? I mean, you look at any of the past governors that Alabama's had, do you think they might, you know, look at, can extend it just a little longer? I don't know. I think these are all questions, but...
Well, I think you look at that the same way. You look at who ran against her in 2016. It was Maddox, right? In Tuscaloosa.
Right. In 2018.
2018. That's right. 2018. Maddox. Well, he's put the city ban in Tuscaloosa and closed down bars and done down all these things of his own to the city. And it's just, he's done that without the approval of what he's got to go up there. Can you imagine if he was governor how far he would have gone from those procedures that he would have had to? And it's not this governor. It's not Governor Ivey that has this specific issue that needs to be addressed on. It's every governor. It's every governor in the future. And so we need to make sure that the legislature is included. Our system was created on a system of checks and balances. Our government is built that way. It has to work that way. And that includes involving all three branches of government in making these decisions.
And the problem, though, Matt, is when you have an abbreviated session this year because of COVID, and then you can't call yourself into special session, and then you're not up again until next February. That's a long period of time without any check or balance. And I think, you know, maybe the legislature may or may not do anything about it, but without that, there's got to be something that fills that vacuum, and it seems like the governor's taking advantage of that. Should something be in place where the legislature should be required to meet during a state of emergency?
Well, I think there's a different level of states of emergencies. I believe, you know, the period of time, you know, if you're talking about a hurricane or a tornado, you want to give the governor the authority to make the decisions and make them right quickly then. And have them something do from there. You know, that time frame. But if you're talking, here we are, what are we, 7 months into 15 days to stop the spread? You know, you can't have the 7 months of just uncontrolled, unchecked power. You need to make sure if it's something, and I'm not sure exactly what the bills are going to be. I haven't seen the final bills that are filed. Is it something that's 120 days? Is it 90 days? Is it 180 days? Something along those lines to say, listen, if at this point, if you still have a state of emergency, you need to have somebody come in and confirm that this is a state of emergency, that this isn't just a power grab. And I'm not saying it is by this governor. I'm just saying in the future, you need to make sure that it's not.
Because you've got people that are at least suggesting that, and you can dismiss them or whatever you want to do, but I still think they have an important voice when it comes to this stuff. Should the entire legislature be involved, or could you do something kind of like what was done with the CARES Act, where you have a couple of committee chairmen and the leadership? I mean, how do you find that right balance of what the check and balance ought to be?
I think this is something that's got to involve the entire legislature. I think that you've got 140 voices up there that need to be heard. I think you have 140 districts that need to have that opportunity to say, this is what my district feels. What works for Birmingham may not be what works for Washington County. What's needed in Tuscaloosa and Lee County may not be what's needed somewhere else. I think you've got to include the entire legislature when you're talking about something this level, this magnitude, to come in, because we thrive so much. Our industry down here in Baldwin County, specifically Mobile County, is that tourism department. that the beach is being open. You know, sometimes you want to let the cities and the counties say, look, we've got to have this revenue. We can get through this. We don't have the same suffering of that same situation that Jefferson County may be having. Let us open up our beaches and let us have that opportunity. And I think you have to include the entire legislature so you can get the full picture of what's going on here. Because if you have the same just, you know, four or five people making the decision, then it's not going to be the full effect of it.
But then it's, you know, take this emergency right now in particular, and you can't have big bodies or big groups gathering. Do you need to make some sort of something that where you could meet? Is it, you know, a meeting at the Renaissance Hotel or something?
That's the question. I think that's the question we're going to have to face for this upcoming session. I don't think anybody has the answer yet. But, yeah, no matter what it is, if we need to be 6 foot apart, if you need to fit 105 members of the House into an area 6 foot apart and everybody have to be, I don't care if there's an auditorium somewhere around or something. There is a building big enough in this state where you can spread everybody out and we can still have that point across. We can vote by paddles. You know, they didn't have electricity back in the 1800s when they were doing some of this stuff and some of the original votes that they had. If we have to go back to the way things were done for that period of time to get the job done, then that's what we have to do. It's our responsibility to make sure that our citizens have their voice heard. And to continue just to be quiet and silent and let this pass by, we can't do that and represent our district the way we need to do it.
We got to get a timeout in here real quick. This is FM Talk 106.5.
A couple guys in first class on a flight from New York to Los Angeles. Kind of making small talk, killing time, flirting with the flight attendant.
Oh, mama, can this really be the end? To be stuck inside.
And welcome back to FM Talk 106.5. Jeff Porch Show here underway for another few minutes before you get to hear my friend Sean Sullivan on Midday Mobile. Has Senator Doug Jones as a guest today, so make sure you stay tuned for that. Ought to be a great discussion. Coming up tomorrow on the program from the Media Research Center, Dan Gaynor, and we will have both mayoral candidates on for the city of Daphne, Robert LeJune and Steve Carey. Give them one last shot to talk to some of the voters over there in Daphne across the bay. And State Senator Clyde Chambliss from Watauga County will join us to talk about prisons. And there's a little bit of controversy there, but want to hear what he thinks of the plan in general as well. Very powerful member of the Alabama Senate. We'll talk to him. And maybe one other guest. It is a national presidential cycle, so we'll try to work something in along those lines. Hopefully you can tune in. Still with this State Representative Matt Simpson. How you feeling about November 3rd?
You know, I feel good. I think we've got a long way to go till we get there. I feel good about the way things have gone to this far. What surprised me in November of 2016 was you started getting those reports from the precincts, from the voting areas, where people would come in and be like, we've never had a line this long. We've never had a turnout this great. I don't think the point right now is, oh, who's undecided versus, you know, I can't decide between Biden and Trump. I think the point now is who can get their people out
to
vote.
It's a base get-out-the-vote election. It's been that way the last few election cycles. Mm-hmm. And we don't have these long, drawn-out discussions about the I-4 corridor or Bucks County, Pennsylvania like we used to. It's more about who's got the enthusiasm, whose voters are more likely to show up.
And I think there's that groundswelling of support for President Trump, I think it's still there. I think people aren't being as forceful because they've been just, you know, hammered down by mainstream media as far as, like, how dare you like Trump? It causes fights within families and things like that. I think there's a lot to that of people just saying that silent majority. I really feel that there is a silent majority there that is going to say, you know what, at the end of the day, back in February, boy, that economy was rolling. My job was well. Unemployment was doing fine. The market was doing well. It sure would be nice to get back to that. And as far as, you know, he's done well with the job he's had. You look at policy. Let's take Twitter President Trump out of the conversation, and you just look at policy. You look at the judges that he's confirmed. You look at, you know, Gorsuch on the Supreme Court. You look at Kavanaugh. You look at what they've done. You look at how the economy is done. If you look at policy, he's done a really, really good job. And that's, you know, not a lot of Republicans that have been in this office have done that job on policy. You don't have a multiple. You don't have a Judge Roberts appointment.
Right.
You know, somebody being like, wow, that we really swung and a miss there. but you look generally at the direction the country was going. You look generally at the economy and how things were going. I think he did a good job. Now, Twitter Trump, that's a whole other issue there.
Well, I think there's a Trump for everybody, a Twitter Trump, and then what you just mentioned. So you got to pick and choose which Trump you like the most. Real quick before we get you out of here, are you happy Joyless Murder Ball has returned to Tuscaloosa?
I can't wait. I love it. You know, we got to get the defense a little bit better. Pete Golding, I don't know if Pete Golding's the answer there. We got to look for a defensive coordinator there. He's either got to step up for this next few games or he's got to step out, because you can blame the true freshman last year and the injuries that happened last year. But as far as what we have now, we haven't had an injury, knock on wood, to try to get through this. You've got to have better communications. You've got to cover the receiver out of the backfield. You can't just leave these wide open spots that are available there. So, Joyless Murder Ball, love it. Mac Jones is doing well. Jalen Waddle is fun to watch. Got to run the ball better. Got to stop. The defense has to step up a little bit. But I like where we are.
And you handled the return to Brian Denny in the most Alabama way. It seemed like a somber occasion, and we're just going to go out and do business. It's not best. I don't know. But what do I know? I'm the Auburn fan here. Got to get out of here, folks. We'll do it all again tomorrow. This is FM Talk 106.5.